Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, it's Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Another weekend of footy. Now, I didn't catch much. I was on a family little getaway to South Australia. Didn't watch Richmond get flogged, sadly, but weird place that. I've been a couple of times. Not a lot to do, but anyway, no offense to our South Australian listeners out there. But some footy happens. So let's talk about it.
Yep. So we'll go to our group winner to start with, and it's Adam's team, and it's called Dingus. What a fucking name. Anyway, he scored a massive 2105, so 2,105. Who did he have, Paddo, and who was his very, very awesome VC choice?
Yeah, so in defense had Zorko, Sinclair, and Roberts score really nicely for him, and Riley Bice as well. So kind of made up for the Sheasel 81 there. Lockie Neal, Connor Rosie, and Clayton Oliver got nice big 130-plus scores for him over the weekend. Sada stuck on his bench as well with a 78 there, so could have been a little bit higher. Rucks were Gorn and Cherry. 200 between them is fine. If we don't look at Gorn's score. But the VC, Dano, and I flagged this last week and it didn't record, and you had to re-record
that. We flagged it.
I didn't actually get to that part of the podcast. Oop. but Jack McRae, 162. I did say the part that didn't record that could be a cheeky VC option there against the Cats. We might talk about him a bit later, Dano, but he is absolutely back. But also Caleb Daniel bounced back with a nice 116 on the weekend. As I said last week, last week's score from Daniel, which was 84 or something, that could be his lowest score for the year, was certainly everywhere against the D's in that really impressive win. That was some of the footy I did get to see. But yeah, 2,105 is massive in a best 18 round in round two. So great job, Dingus.
Yep. We'll go to injuries and suspensions because I know that there's going to be a lot of talk about a couple of these guys. So the first one's Elijah Sardis. He broke his hand or fractured his hand. He's missing this week. He's got the bye next week. And then Darcy Parrish comes back. And with his low time on ground percentage, Paddo, a lot of people have some questions about him. But anyway, what are you thinking there?
This is a really difficult one because he has a negative 21 break even. And his score last week drops out of his three round after two games. 78 is fine. Like, that would be really good if we knew he was going to get that. But as you said, they've got midfielders to come back, including Darcy Parrish, who should play this week. They've also got Will Setterfield, who is listed as a test. So he may not get back into the team. It's a tough one. It's so tough because we know he's going to miss this week and they've got the bye next week. So he may not get back into the team, Dano, which if you think that, there's got to be a trade.
Yeah.
Considering the strength of the midfield rookies, which we'll address later.
I'm going to talk about that a little bit later because we've got some questions on him and we want people to listen to the end of the podcast. So we'll move on to Tom Stewart. Banged his knee on the ground, got subbed out for a fucking 9 or whatever. As a Tom Stewart owner, shit times. But it's labelled as minor. He's listed as a test and could be back this week. So
you get subbed out in the first 10 minutes of a game every year, Dano.
I know. And you know what? I even picked him knowing that it was going to happen early.
Lucky it was in the best 18 week.
Yeah. So I still went up 10K places. I don't know how. But anyway.
Forgot to put it in there. We need to talk about our teams.
Oh, yeah. We'll do it after this. Anyway, Bailey Smith, late withdrawal with a calf test. He should be back this week from all accounts. But if you're a fader like myself, Paddo, it's actually not too bad because, you know, you can still get another week's worth of data out of him and then see if he gets another late withdrawal the next week.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, he had that big score. I can't remember who he scored that again. Oh, Freo, and they were really bad. in that game, and then he would have played St Kilda, and they ended up knocking off the Cats, which was glorious. but they're not great either, and then people would have potentially seen that 2 weeks and then brought him in for this week's game against Brisbane. So having that second game against Brisbane actually favours the Faders, because you can give him one more week and see how he goes against Brisbane at the Gabba, if it's not a calf/nose injury.
Yep, fair.
Which we'll obviously know this weekend.
And for those playing along at home, if you are a Fader, and there's not many of us, and you are getting frustrated with someone in your forward line, who we will mention a little bit later because I'm pretty sure there's questions about him, you potentially, I don't condone trading out primos, but you potentially could downgrade if Bailey Smith pops off. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Liam Stocker, concussion, and Hunter Clark, groin. No, he did not get concussed by bouncing off of his groin. But
they were not hand in hand.
They were not hand in hand. It was facing groin. Anyway, hopefully good news for Hasty, although his VFL stats weren't the greatest, you were saying, Pato.
Yeah, but he is kind of that player, potentially, if they go for like-for-like replacement. So, I mean, Ross Lyon does this with his rookies. I don't know. I won't bang on about the whole Garcia situation, but Ross Lyon does this with his rookies. I shouldn't have started him. But I think if he's not named, he's got to be a trade out this week.
Yep. Reece McInnes, ACL season done.
Yeah, not super relevant, but there were some people that started him as a rookie price guy, but he has got to go unless you just want a VC loophole guy for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but now here's the interesting one. The Eagles ruck line. So they didn't start Flynn. They started Bailey Williams and Archer Reid. And Bailey Williams got subbed out. And then Archer Reid, yeah, it was weird, Pato. And you're looking at it going, why wouldn't you just play Flynn? But anyway.
Yeah, so Williams is cramping up. So they just thought, oh, yeah, let's sub him out and we'll have Archer Reid finish off the game. And then Archer Reid did something to his leg. So Flynn probably comes straight back in. When the news came out on, what was it, Friday afternoon, I hope people didn't panic too much. I feel like Flynn to hold for now through the best 18. There shouldn't be too much carnage around your team. You can probably afford to hold him because of people avoiding these buy players. But I think he comes straight back in this week.
Yeah. We'll talk about our own teams, Pato. So I'm going to start off. I had a shithouse week, but I still went up 10K, 10.5K places, and I don't know how. So I only scored a 1932. I obviously had Tom Stewart's 9, which fucking sucked, but it rolled out. You're like, when you're expecting a defensive primo to go good, you're like, fuck. But I had Harry Sheasel's 81. I had Jack Sinclair's massive 145, Jordan Clark's 122, Joel Frazier's 100. Then it was Tom Stewart's 9, Luke Traynor's 24 in defense. And I was like, ugh, okay, they'll roll out. That's fine. Had Lockie Neal as captain for the 133. He's retired. Andrew Brayshaw, 106. So not super good, but he only had 20 touches, which was kind of weird. Clayton Oliver, 130. But here's where it gets a bit annoying, Pato. So Sam Lawler, 39. Ugh. Finn O'Sullivan, 42. Ugh. Nathan O'Driscoll's 95. Sweet. Elijah Sada, 78. Sweet. Mitchie Nevitt, 58. Had Jack Henderson, who I traded in for Riley Sanders, with a 72 on the bench. Couldn't even loop him on. How good. Now, my ruck, Maxi Gawn, 67. Hurt not having Cherry, but I'm going to see it out. Tom DeConing, 104 as VC. Didn't quite cut the mustard. Forward line, Pato, Jason Horney, Francis, 61. Fucking pathetic. Isaac Rankin, 90. Subbed out on 97. Actually, not sure how he's going. We didn't have him on the injury list, Pato, but not sure
Matthew Nix just rested him.
Fair enough. They were shellacking him anyway.
Yeah.
Jack McRae's big 162. Caleb Daniels, 116. Davidson, 72. Then I had Halls, 33 on field, and then Levi Ashcroft, 72. So my low scores were fucking low, and that's what ended up killing me. Like, you expect more than a 9 from Tom Stewart, but hey, shit happens. He's averaging 54.5. How good is that? But I'm going to have to hold him. And Maxi Gawn, 67, was just brutal. And most of that came in like the last 1.5 quarters, which is even worse. So, yeah, I ended up going up somehow with my 1932 to 20,258. So, my total score is 4,059, Pato, and I'm not actually sure how far behind the leader that is. Quickly have a look. 4,059. So I'm 300 and something points off first.
Yeah, there's
so
not a lot.
Can still make it up. Can still make it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not too stressed. It's just these, I stacked my midfield rookies and the more expensive ones are doing shit and the cheaper ones are doing good. And that's about how it is right now, Paddo.
No, I haven't looked at our questions, Dano, but are you concerned about Brayshaw?
He's, from when I watched him, and I didn't watch a lot of the game, he looked really good. But then I looked at his stats, I'm like, oh, he's gone quiet again. It's like, I don't know what his CBA numbers were, but I'm not sure if he was playing enough midfield.
Because Caleb Sarong is the one that got the tag. Brayshaw had 59% CBAs. Jager O'Meara had a big uptick. He had 77% as opposed to 24% last week. Shea Bolton came in with 41%. And then they also had Erasmus, who had 18%. And Matthew Johnson at 18%, which is down from 50%. So looks like they're trying to play around with that midfield group. O'Driscoll went from 68% last week to zero.
Still played good, though.
It was always my concern about Brayshaw is just he's been the one that's been pushed out to a wing to favour these inside guys. But again, they lost. So
the thing, and I just want to point this out, Jago O'Meara was in that team, like in that midfield mix, for the sole reason of creating space between James Jordan and Caleb Sarong.
Yeah, I saw that. He was almost a bodyguard for him.
Yeah, and that's the only reason why he was in there. And unfortunately, it cost Andy Brayshaw a few CBAs because of it. But look, if the man's getting 20 disposals on the dot and still cracking 100, it just shows the quality of the player, in my opinion. I'm not too stressed yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Sarong will get tagged again, no doubt. So it'll be interesting to see if that's something they stick with. Feels like too many inside mids there as well between Johnson, Erasmus, Sarong. Like, it's a lot of the same type, and they've got Fife to come back in as well.
And Hayden Young.
And Hayden Young, who, yeah, we'll see who that pushes out.
Yeah, I doubt it's going to be Brayshaw, to be honest.
No, just more of the CBA action. He'll play, but it just, I don't love him in a wing role. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, how's your team going?
My team.
You're humming.
My team. So I scored for the round 1,939, and that brought my rank into 9,159. Again, the rank is the rank. Like, there's so much movement that will happen, especially early days where there's buys. So I'm not too concerned about that number, but I'm sure people at home will be wanting to hear how our teams are going, or in the car, or wherever you are right now. My big decision, Dano, so I VC'd Tom De Koning and 104 was just not enough.
Yep, agreed.
So I had a big decision. I nearly went with Luke Davies-Uniac, who has a really good record against Melbourne lately, but decided that Zorko against West Coast was just too good to refuse. So I backed myself in there. I mean, he got a 136 for me, which was nice, and I think he was only captained by about 2.5% of the top 10% of teams. So I was really happy with that. Had Matt Roberts as 115 as well in defence, but I do have Shizu and Martin, who are both concerning me a little bit. I read that Nick Martin started at halfback, but they got moved forward and they were getting beaten comfortably. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not going to trade them out, but they are concerning me, but we'll stick fat with that. My midfield was sold without being spectacular. So Cripps and Davies-Uniac both got 108 for me. Clayton Oliver was the one, 130 against North Melbourne there. Really stamping himself as being proper back. O'Driscoll, I'm bringing in. He's in my team as I see it on field right now, but I ended up keeping Sardis Dano. So I changed this over the weekend. I was originally doing Sardis to O'Driscoll, which obviously would have netted me more points, but I was talking to Lloydie through our Facebook DMs, and he said he's going to hold Sardis just for one more week to see how he goes. Now, in hindsight, obviously, now he's got a broken hand.
Yeah.
Should have done that trade last week, but obviously, without that broken hand, I'm happy with 78, and I would have been holding Sardis. So I'm not too mad that I held that trade. So I only did the one trade last week, and that was bringing Xavier Lindsay in. So I was obviously happy with that. He's looking like a really nice rookie. My rucks were great. Cherry and De Koning, could not be happier with those two. 240 between them is brilliant. The Horny Man is concerning me a little bit. I'm hoping that he just played a bit more forward on the weekend because of was it Georgiades that went down. I missed the first half, so I don't catch.
What happened was I think he gave away 7 frees.
No, but he also went forward. He only played 41% in the midfield.
Yeah, because he was getting frustrated.
Yeah, but one of their forwards went down.
Hang on a second.
Which was also why he went forward.
Yeah, no, like it was more so they were belting.
Oh, Lukosius.
He was getting Lukosius, who played 3%
game time.
But it was also more so that he was just getting frustrated super early, man. Like it was painful to watch him give away stupid free kicks.
Yeah,
and he was in the middle of the ground when he was doing it. So
yeah, bit of Harley Reid in that. So hopefully he fixes that up a bit. Rankin was on about 90 when he got subbed out at three-quarter time and got held up, which was nice. Not concerned about him. Jack McRae is the big one, 162. Very happy with that. And Caleb Daniel, of course, in my forward line. Held on to Bailey Smith. I will see if his name this week, and that is fine with me. But happy with my team, how my team is looking, Dan. I'm looking at 2, possibly 3 trades this week. Definitely bringing in O'Driscoll. Definitely bringing in Henderson at that low price point. I've just got to work out whether I go Sardis out as well or whether I go a trainer out who is not good. But anyway, we'll talk about that now.
Yep. Cool. Okay. So we'll go into the rookie must-haves for the week. So to start off with, we've got Nathan O'Driscoll for obvious reasons. So he's 198K, 93 average, minus 75 break-even. Didn't matter that the fact that he didn't have any CBAs, Paddo, because he still fucking looked so good. And honestly, he should have cracked 100.
Yeah, I mean, them losing probably cost him the 100. We've seen him do this really this well in a wing role anyway previously. So he was always going to score just fine. I feel like his wing performances away from Optus Stadium might be a little bit worse than other places, but we'll ride that. He's a rookie. That is fine. I think he'll be really good. And he has that really good buy as well, so he could potentially be an up-until-the-buy keeper, and he will be nice and juicy by the time we look to cash him in. So if you don't have O'Driscoll, I would be finding a way to get him in.
Yeah. Xavier Lindsay from Melbourne, the next one, 158K, 82 average, another negative 75 break-even. Started off pretty good, but then fizzled out with Melbourne, so look, he looks pretty good, Paddo. I was a bit hesitant at first with his scoring. Like the first week, I was like, you know, against the Giants, he looked okay, but he looks much better in week two. So, yeah, that eye test, he's passed it. And I don't think he's going to be losing his spot anytime soon.
No, wouldn't have thought so. So I would be looking to prioritize bringing him in as well.
Yep, sweet. Now we got, I don't know what the fuck you've done here, Paddo. I'm going to quickly go, we're going to Mitch Nevitt, 149K. Now, Paddo's just done a fucking glitch moment here. he's got a 70 average. Oh, fuck. I'm glad I had the Supercoach app open then. And minus 56 break even. His role's still there. It dips slightly from round one. One thing I do want to bring up, though, Paddo, don't know if it's going to impact him or no, but Closey playing well, is that going to impact Nev Daddy at all? And the other one is Mitchy Duncan playing well in the VFL.
Well, neither of those guys are CBA midfielders.
Well, Mitchy Duncan was a midfielder.
Yeah, but he hasn't played midfield for 5 years.
Okay.
So their midfield group makeup did change a little bit from last week. So Dangerfield went from 21% to 50% CBAs, but that makes up for the Smith going from 26 to 0, obviously, because he didn't play.
Yeah.
Also, Tom Stewart last week had 50%. He had 0 this week because he went down early. And they had Bose went from 0 to 28%, Blitzabs 18 to 31%, Jai Clark 18 to 34%. So Mitch Nevitt was the second leading like midfielder CBA player for them on the weekend. So De Koning was obviously the highest as the ruckman. Atkins was first in 66%, and then it was Nevitt with 63%. So he's got more than Holmes, who got tagged out of that game, and then more than Dangerfield as well, who had a little bit of an uptick. So on that data, he is in that first choice midfield group. So I don't think those guys affect his role at all.
Fair enough. Jack Henderson, 99K, 64 average midfielder, minus 71 break even. I like Henderson more so for the fact is, like, we've seen where he's come from, Great state league stats, playing out of position, but he's making it his own. And look, I brought him in last round. Unfortunately, had him on my bench. But if you're looking at a downgrade, or no matter what, it's actually a downgrade to him, Paddo. No matter way you look at it, he's the cheapest that you can get in that line. So if you're looking at someone down to him, don't mind it, because I think his position is kind of safe. But Melbourne are struggling, and there's going to be some form of change there, and I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure if they're even going to like keep these young guys in, to be honest, with the way that they're going, Paddo. They might have to try and bring some more experience in. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure really how much experience they have to come back into this team, don't they? Like, they had a bit of a list turnover over the off season, and I look at their lowest ranked players over the weekend. Bailey Fritsch isn't getting dropped. Spargo came in, had a poor game, but again, experienced. Daniel Turner, he's a key forward, so that doesn't matter. Woden was pretty good as the sub. Jefferson got injured. So it could be these young guys that they make the scapegoats, but at the same time, like, it's the senior guys that aren't really performing. Apparently, Gawn has something personally going on, so hopefully everything's all right there with Max and his family and whatever else, but surely Henderson is fine. Now, Henderson, you got to temper expectation. He's not going to get you 100-plus every week, but he's the perfect guy to sit as your M10, and he will chug away 60s and make money slowly, and that's all you want from him.
Yeah, correct. Then you have a few spike games here and there.
Yeah, of 75.
Yeah, exactly. How good. Okay, the last one of our rookies is Connor O'Sullivan, 148K defender, 68 average, minus 53 break-even. Look, with the defensive rookie spuds that we've got going on, he's kind of like a mini shining light. But Kay Colo, no, Kay, not Kay Colo, he's retired. His brother,
Jesus.
The other Colo,
Jake.
J Colo. He's coming back soon as well. So what does that mean for Connor O'Sullivan? Don't really know.
Yeah, and they've also got Mr. DeConing, who can go there as well.
Yeah, so not really sure about him. I'm sure we're going to have questions a little bit later regarding him and another rookie that fucking fired. So, yeah, that's on the buy this week. Anyway, other rookies to keep an eye on, not on the bubble yet, or their buys this week. So, here's a bloke that I forgot fucking played football, Paddo, Joel Hamling. Got a 73, 159K forward, minus 55 break even at the moment. What the fuck? I thought he retired.
No, went from Frio to Sydney last year, played VFL the whole year, but he's coming as a defender because they are trying a few different things. So,
wasn't he at the Western Bulldogs at one stage, or am I thinking of someone else?
Yeah, so he's a premiership player at the Bulldogs, went to Fremantle, I believe. Got Ross lined there and then got picked up by Sydney.
Yeah, fair.
And has a 73 average playing in defence over the last 2 weeks. So could be an option to look at next week once he has risen if Reed and or Trainer have another poor score this week.
Well, he's a forward.
True. My bad.
Well, you've got him listed down as a forward. Let's actually double check.
Yeah, no, he is a forward. That's my bad.
Yeah, forward playing in defence. So if you've got a rookie sputting up in the forward line.
Hello, Ben Patton.
Well, he's forward and defense, but
yep.
Yeah, anyway. Next one, Ethan Reed, 169K forward, got 100 in one game. Pato's very... he just wants to make that note, just 100 in one game. Got a minus 53 projected, apparently, not projected, break even. So, yeah, wait and see with him.
Anyway, the unfortunate thing with Ethan Reed is that he can't play West Coast every week, which is who he's got that 100 against. But in saying that, he's got the Ds this week. He has Adelaide the following week, which is a tough game. But then he has North Melbourne and Richmond and Sydney, who have been struggling with key forwards. So he could actually be a cheeky little cash cow if he scores okay this week. But yeah, obviously keep an eye on that score for this week and a possible option for your bench next week.
Yeah, big Ted Closey, 119K forward mid, who I mentioned earlier, got an 84 in his first game playing. He was the sub, came on pretty early, got that 84, yum, yum, yum. Minus 52 break even. The only problem is, Paddo, he was meant to be the sub, played good, but he can get Chris Scott.
No, he was the sub. So he got 84 and 57% game time.
That's what I mean. He could still get Chris Scotted even though he played well.
Yeah. So, again, give it a week, see what the role and score is this week. But we could have another closey cash cow this year.
One thing I'll mention, with fucking Chris Scott, you got to give it to him. Every year, he plucks out a couple of rookies and he just, well, young guys, and just keeps them in the team, even if they're playing like average. Like, look at Jai Clark and shit previously. Like, he just seems to do it all the time. And now, hopefully he does it with Nevitt and... like maybe O'Sullivan, probably not, but like got to give him credit. He sticks with him for at least 5-6 games. It's like he plays super coach.
He might.
Anyway, last one who I was really wanting on here, Paddo, and I didn't realize is he actually listed as a forward?
Yeah.
Fuck me. No, he's not. He's listed as a mid.
What?
Clay Hall, 129K midfielder. Paddo. I was like, what the fuck? He got an 88 in his first game back, minus 60 projected break even. This guy is one that we spoke about last season in the preseason, Paddo, and we thought that he was going to play last year, and then he got his injuries and whatnot. And anyway, he is here. He's had a preseason under his belt, and I'm really big on Clay Hall, and I'm glad he's back, and he's at that price point, and I want to see another game out of him because there's just so many midfield rookies, and he's one that I would love to have in my team.
Yeah, you have to give this another week, though. So you had Jack Graham, who was a late out, zero CBAs, obviously. Liam Baker went from zero last week to 83% this week, and Clay Hall had 55%. So with Graham coming in, obviously he gets CBAs. Does he knock Baker out or did he knock Hall out? We will see, but we need another week of data.
I think they keep Hall in there. He adds something else to them, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they nearly knocked off Brisbane. So
yeah,
what they did worked.
Yep. Anyway, we'll start off with some mid-pricer primos to potentially trade in and whatnot. So first one, who has arousal levels high, Paddo, that's Bailey Dale, 528K in defense, 134 average, 2% owned, 29 break even. Mind you, can I just say, the guy that won the weekly literally just started his team from last round and has Bailey Dale in there. Fucking nuts. It's always going to happen. And if some poor bugger who missed out by 4 points actually started the season. So anyway.
It's not a bad strategy. Like, you're not allowed to have more than one team and they track your IP address and shit, so don't try it. Yeah. But if you are not going for overall or you're just going for leagues, actually you can't enter a league without having a team, but start at round two.
Yeah.
Have a week, see the must-have rookies and go for a weekly because you're probably more chance of getting the $2,000 that way than the 50K.
Yeah. Anyway, great start to the year to Bailey Dale. Massive, massive POD. Look, honestly, Paddo, if Tom Stewart had have fucked his knee, this is who I was going to.
Yeah. I have reservations about this because people will see the 134 average and the price point and they'll think, oh, I can put Sheasel to him and make $100,000. I think that's a waste of a trade. And people got sucked into these sort of trades last year and then it came to round 18 and like, fuck, where's all my trades? So the other issue is when we're talking specifically about Bailey Dale, he does this every year. He'll go on like a month of on absolute heat and then he'll drop down. So I'll take a 4-week sample size from last year. So starting in round 6, he had St. Kilda. He went 175, 132, 116, and 103. That is a great month. You'll be happy with that of any of your players.
Oh, yeah.
But then the next 2 weeks, he went 88 and 99. Then he went 132, then he went 95. And I know they're not horrible scores, but then you look late in the year, he started getting a little bit of attention. He went 88, 73, 123, 99, 79, 126, 45, 77, 126. So I just think that the attention starts coming for Bailey Dale, as it usually does, and he's a little bit of an inconsistent scorer. That's my issue with Dale.
Ah, fair enough, but it could be the year. anyway, Dane Zorko, 595K, 138 average. Is that correct, Paddo?
137.5 rounded up, yep. Yes.
15% owned, 59 break-even, and everyone's worried about him being old. If you're worried about him being old, why did you care about last season then? That's where I'll leave that. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he was a great starting pick. I'm happy with his average right now. having started him. He's a captain option as well. So I think he's pretty good value at under 600,000. I know it's close to 600, but he's got a break even of 59. So he will rise above that, you would think, this week. Doesn't have that early buy like he previously did. And he's got Richmond soon, and he will probably score 180 against them. So there's a lot to like with Dane Zorko. And I think 15% ownership is a little mad.
You know what I think's mad? 8% ownership for Jordan Clark at 563K, 115 average, 88 break even. Started him over Luke Ryan because of his form towards the end of last year. Jordan Clark is a fucking weapon. And yeah, honestly, he's going to be in the top six defenders this year, guaranteed, in my opinion.
Yeah, certainly looking like it. He's had two really great games so far, and West Coast this week. So a little cheeky preview of our captaincy options this week, potentially. He has a tough run to end the year. You shouldn't be thinking about August already, so don't stress too much about that. But I think Jordan Clark's really great value. He's that main guy out of defense for Freo at the moment. The issue is they are losing games. So do they look for a change? Do they go back to trying to use Ryan more? I'm not sure, but I think Jordan Clark is really good value.
Now, we've got a couple of mid prices here. First one's Christian Salem, 431K, 112 average, 1% owned, 19 break even. Now, Paddo, the Scodfather came out and said that all mid price defenders are shit this year. And I had to come out and say, no, Christian Salem and Joel Frazier have started off well. So who would have thought Christian Salem would be it? Not many people, apparently 1%. Did but he's looked good, like even in the wet against the Giants he looked good. So yeah, is he finally living up to that potential, Paddo?
Again, he does this, he sucks people in and he looks great and he's a good price and then he lets people down, and that's his track record. So I can't condone this. He's in there because he's scoring well, and I'm sure people are curious because he's 431 grand, but he's had two relatively easy halfback opponents so far in the Giants and the Kangaroos. He's got the Suns this week, which is another soft matchup. But then it gets tough from there. Geelong, Essendon, Freo. Then Richmond, West Coast back-to-back, which are very juicy. And then it gets hard again, Hawthorn, Brisbane, Sydney. So I can't condone this. I feel like this would be a waste of a trade in and then a waste of a trade out, and you're wasting two trades. I think there's better options that will not only make you money but score you fine.
Okay. The other one's Kane Farrell, 445K, 102 average, and even less team, 0.6%, 46 break even. He's not going to set the world on fire, Kane Farrell. I'm waiting for a down game, but he's scraping those 100s, and look, they're spreading that Houston points around the back line, and for Kane Farrell seems to be benefiting more than most.
Yeah, this is one I can get behind more than Salem, because whenever Houston didn't play, Farrell was always the one that benefited from that. He's had two scores in the hundreds. I don't feel like his floor is as low as other guys like Salem, even like a Clark. I'm not saying he's a better pick than Clark, because he's not, but I just feel like 0.6% is crazy for a guy that will probably give you at worst 90 and will have spike scores of like 120, 130 when the ball is actually in the opposition forward line.
Oh, fair enough. Now, midfielders, Paddo, you've said don't bring in primo mids. Why would you even consider it? And then I messaged you what?
You said to add Finn Callahan because he's a great price point, and I was going to, but I wanted to stick fat with the fact that you shouldn't be bringing in a midfielder because of how the rookies are in the midfield. So the only one I can probably hear an argument about is Finn Callahan, just because of the price point.
Yeah, and I just want to point out that I wanted to start him, I was hesitant, and I wanted to see 2 weeks of data. And if I'm a man of my word, I've got to stick with this, Paddo, and bring him in. I have one to two less primo midfielders than other people, and it has somewhat slightly hurt me in my overall, but Callahan, I don't even know what the fuck his break even is. It's got to be in the negative, surely.
Yeah, I think it is. It's zero.
Oh, there you go. Oh, fuck. I was close. so he's going to beat zero, surely.
Surely he won't do a Bo Allen.
Oh, fuck off. So, yeah, Callahan's passed the eye test for me. I really, really wanted to put him in here. Now, I think if he gets his 107, he only goes up 40-something K. So he's still going to be sub 500K, Pato. So still good value for a bloke where you can get literally 3 weeks worth of data out of.
I also feel like he may get a tag this week. So you could maybe even afford to wait another week and get him at 460-odd ahead of West Coast, St Kilda, etc. But I started Callahan. I got sucked in by that round zero performance. He was fantastic. Yeah, great price point, absolute gun. Surely the CBA role does not change, Dano.
Oh, no, it won't. Now, with Hawthorn to GWS, I'm pretty sure they're going to send Connor Nash to Tom Green again.
Well, I mean, he had 54 against them in round 21 last year, so he did get some attention in that game. But my only thing, though, there, Dano, is how are you getting to Finn Callahan? And I'm not talking about you specifically because you've got a fucked up structure that not many people do. But for most people listening to this, they will probably be sitting on midfield that might have who's popular, like Brayshaw. Like Lockie Neal, those sorts. Like, who are you trading to get to Finn Callahan?
Fuck Will Day off, nah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be an option, but he's got a great run coming up.
Yeah, so I know what you mean.
He's a trade-in option.
it's more so if you've got a primo that might be injured or, I don't know, let's say they're an out this week and you really want to focus on your overall and it's a primo that you might have been a bit hesitant, like you're thinking about trading and then they're out. Just fuck them off. The funny thing is, Pato, you know how conservative I am with trades. And I just think that Callahan's going to be one of the picks of the season. And I want to be there for the ride, just as a Giants fan as well, as a Supercoach supporter.
Yeah, no, I get that. I started Callahan. I'm all aboard the Callahan train. But again, who are people trading out to get to Callahan? Because there's no suspensions. There's no big injuries in people's midfield lines. Like, you're trading out a guy that's playing, and I don't think that's a good idea.
That's fair enough. And some people might not have planned like me. Like, I've got 290K in the bank to use to get like a Finn O'Sullivan or some run straight to him. So, yeah, there was a lot of planning involved with Callahan. I just wanted to mention him in the potty. Anyway, we'll go to the ruck line and we're starting to see how that's playing out. So we've got TDK, the obvious one, and then Cherry. So if you started TDK and Cherry, good on you. Witt, I really like, but fucking Hardwick being Hardwick came out and said that some games he's going to basically play Ned Moyle over Witts, even if Witts is playing good, dependent on the matchup, which I thought was a really fucking weird statement. Darcy Cameron and Rowan Marshall, decent PODs. Gorn had an off one. I've never seen him play like quite as bad, to be honest, Pato. Like, the only problem with that, just on Gorn, is I was keeping track of the hitouts, and he won 4 hitouts, and they gave all 4 hitouts to Cherry, and I couldn't quite work out why.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah, and like a lot of the time, Gorn would get front position, and his hand would be first to the ball, and Cherry's is behind it, and Gorn would tap it down, and kind of go to like a neutral contest, and yeah, they awarded it to Cherry, and I just couldn't work it out. But anyway, champion data. Sweet's another one. Good value. Not going to give any monster scores, though. So we kind of see how that's playing out. I know, and I would like to hear your thoughts on this, Rowan Marshall, Pato. I know a few people are eyeing him off. What, like, do you think it's good? Let's say if someone's got Flynn and they've got extra cash and they're like, fuck this, I don't want Flynn at R2. Do you reckon Rowan Marshall's a good one to look at?
If you've got the cash, you're going to De Koning, surely.
And let's say they've already got De Koning at R1.
I think you just find the extra 40K and get Cherry then.
Cherry's not 580K.
Either's Marshall.
Oh, true, true.
Cherry's only 40 grand more, 42K more than Cherry, more than Marshall.
Yeah, okay, fair.
So I think Marshall is decent. And like, if what's his face didn't play in round one, your
Boyd.
If Boyd didn't play in round one, Rowan Marshall would be in 15 to 20% of teams. The issue is Boyd played 1 week and Ross Lyon saw that he's not AFL standard, and then Rowan Marshall straight back into the ruck again. And does that change? Who knows? Alex Dodson is a really highly rated young ruck. Is he ready yet? Who knows? But he could come in and chop Marshall out up forward again. Like, and there was the same argument last year. Like, there's always that looming thing of like, oh, is Marshall going to go back to being a forward? Because it feels like Ross Lyon doesn't like him as a ruck. Yeah. Feels like he wants that big, bruising ruckman that he sort of enjoyed at St Kilda his first time round, and then at Freo as well with Shrek Darcy. So I don't know. This is a weird one with me. And he also only played Geelong.
Yeah.
So I will see how he goes against Big Nank this weekend. But I don't love it. I think if you're going a Flynn, you got to get to one of Cherry or DeConing.
No, fair. All right, we'll go after the forward line. So the obvious one, Jack McRae, 392K, 145 average, 69% owned. EO. If you're in the 31% of teams that don't have him, fucking get him in. We said it last week. Get Jack McRae in.
Yeah, negative 69% break even for a guy that's 392,000 is pretty nutty. This guy will get to 650K like the good old days, which is kind of crazy. So, yeah. As I said last week, enjoy the ride of having McRae available as a forward because it won't happen again.
Yep. Bailey Smith, 389K, 147 from one game, 68% owned. Look, I want to bring it up again. If you're a fader, so if you're in the 32% that don't have him, honestly, I reckon hold off because...
Yeah, give it one more week.
And we'll talk about it in the questions as to why, because I know that the question's been brought up. Cade Chandler, this is a unique one, Paddo. Cade Chandler, 340K, 111 average, 0.2% of teams, minus 31 break even. I think he got like 150 on the weekend. He fucking went huge. Oh, yeah, 151. There we go. But he got a 71 the week before. And look, that 151 came at a good time, Paddo. Very good time. It would have been better if it was in week three, but hey, beggars can't be choosers. I like how you said Uber Primo.
Yeah, this is completely out of left field.
Yeah, he looked fucking good watching the game. Looked very composed. I just don't know where this came from.
Yeah,
is it just a spike game?
He had 151 in a game that his team lost by 60 points, by 10 goals. So it's kind of crazy. I'm trying to bring up his role, what it says, and it's fucking DFS.
Got CBAs?
Yeah, and was that just throwing him in there because they were getting smashed, or was that for another reason? Like, who knows?
Well, honestly, if they're throwing him in there and he's performing well and they're getting smashed, I'm assuming Trent Rivers' CBAs were quite down because it wasn't working.
I think from memory, Rivers lost all of his CBAs.
That's quite down. So
yeah, so 31 to 0. Langdon went from 4% to 45%. Chandler went from 0 to 23%. And Petrarca, interestingly, went from 81 to 48%.
Get him up forward.
So we're on for a forward DPP watch there with Petrarca, which feels like it happens every year.
I think we're getting the same with Chad Warner. Kate Chandler, I honestly, like, what? Okay, let's quickly have a look at him, Paddo, because I just want to see how much he'll go up by with his projected. So, don't know why that changed his name from Cade to Maid, but anyway, here we go. Okay, so if he's projected to get a 79. If he gets a 79, he's going to go up 49K. If he cracks 100, you'd think maybe 58, 60K.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem. He's playing that sort of half forward role, and these guys have these sort of games, and it can just be something as simple as the ball is just spending most of the game on his half of the ground, and he just happens to be part of that link-up play, which was kind of what happened on the weekend. It could be the opposite. It could be the inverse next week, where all the footy is on the other side of the ground that when he's at, and he might struggle again. So, look, it's probably not a great option. I just wanted to throw in a nice little cheeky 0.2%er in there with a negative 31 break even and maybe talk about it.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll go to Jai Simpkin, 429K, 109 average, 5% owned, not 55, 5% owned, 24 break even. He's on the ton run at the moment, Paddo. So he's got 2 tons so far, 30% CBAs. I'm not worried about Wardlaw coming back, Paddo, but you are.
Well, yeah, who does he push out of the midfield?
I mean, Powell's playing well.
Yep. Will Phillips is getting 35%.
Oh, he'll be the first one to get fucked off.
And you've got Luke Parker, who's at 60%, and you've got Sheasel at 53%.
They'll fuck Will Phillips off.
I mean, they like him doing defensive tag jobs.
Yeah, but they're also subbing him out.
Yeah.
So,
But Simkin does look great. But he's another one that sort of does this a lot. He'll go on these little runs and then fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Nah, fair enough. Here's a left fielder, Bailey Humphrey, 270K. He got 104 in his first game. They've had the bye. He's like the fourth in line for the midfield. He's being touted as Damien Hardwick's version of Dusty Paddo. So, and you know how much Damien Hardwick loves a Dusty clone.
Yep, 100%. Played that midfield role. Was against West Coast, so that's where it's a little bit unreliable data-wise. This is a watch and see with Humphrey. He's 270 grand, which is a really nice price point. He's got the D's this week. So that's a midfield that is a bit more mature than West Coast, and we'll see how he goes. But if he can get 80 plus, Dano, he could be a cheeky look for next week.
Oh, yeah.
And I must also say his run after the Melbourne game is Adelaide North and Richmond. So, yeah.
Yeah, juicy, juicy. He's definitely a watch for me, Bailey Humphrey. The last one, Caleb Daniel, 269K, 99 average, 75% owned, minus 46 break even. If you're in the 25% of teams, what do you got to do, Paddo?
Get him the fuck in.
Get him the fuck in. That's all we need to say there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, cool. Well, because Paddo wants to do questions before the VC and C's, and I wanted to change things up. But anyway,
we can do VC and C's first.
Nah, fuck yeah. You already fucked it up last week. Gave you the sack for the VC and C, so nah, we're going this way. All right, so we'll start on the Twitter. So Twitter to start with, we've got Aaron Monish, okay, Nashi. So he started, Paddo, with thoughts on Short, Jason Horne-Francis, and Finn O'Sullivan. If you were to trade one, who would be priority, and what's Jack Henderson's role in job security like? Cheers. P.S. Dale or Rosie. Okay, so we'll start off with thoughts on... So who would you trade first out of Short, Jason Horne-Francis, and Finn O'Sullivan?
I'm going Jaden Short there, although he has the Saints this week.
And Finn O'Sullivan started to show some signs in that last game. His score didn't really show it, but he started to show some signs in, I think it was the third quarter.
I'm trading O'Sullivan out.
That's who I was trading Callahan to.
So here's the thing. I think Short is the guy, but I don't think you should trade him out before St Kilda.
Yeah.
Which is probably not super helpful, Nashi. But yeah, and I wouldn't be trading Horne-Francis out. What are your thoughts on Horne-Francis?
Well, this is the one where we got a few questions about on Facebook, Paddo.
All right, so we'll get to that.
Yeah, so we'll get to that one. Next one, Scobie says, on a scale of one to urgent with the crisis of defender rookies, how often would you say it's acceptable to send people unwarranted feet pics? Because Dano hasn't stopped since I first rejected him, and now it's becoming slightly more obsessive.
Well, that's when you just start sending him a bill, Scobie, and a monthly subscription service.
No, I'm sending him feet pics, so I should be charging him, apparently.
Oh, yeah, you should be.
Yeah, no. This is what happens, Scobie, when you say you want to see a picture of my feet once for $50, and then I spam you about 50 times in the space of 2 minutes. Pay up, bitch. Next one, we got two from Mitchell. So the first one from Mitchell is, in terms of bench rookies, would you rather trade in Henderson or Lindsay? In an ideal world, by round six, Lindsay gets defense DPP and becomes a valuable asset on field. However, Henderson offers more larger potential cash gen if his job security remains. Didn't Lindsay playing in defense? I thought he was on wing.
You know, he's getting a bit of defense time at halfback. So
ooh, nice.
If I'm choosing one of the two, I'm going Lindsay because Henderson is still a possible sub risk, either green or red vest. So I think Lindsay's locked into that 23 or 22. Yep. And Henderson is a little bit volatile with his position. So I'm going Lindsay of those two.
Yep. I preferred Lindsay last week when I was looking to trade someone in, but meant that I wouldn't be able to get my boy Finn this week. So, yep, I'd be going Lindsay as well. And then he goes, and secondly, in light of Sartis injury news, would you rather trade Finn O'Sullivan or Sartis to Lindsay? This is the question, Paddo. this is the one that we need to discuss.
Yeah, I think if it's one of the two, you're trading Sardis, the one that's not playing. And I don't think it's potential. Like, I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, okay. Originally, I was going to do Finno Sullivan, but when I heard this Sardis news and then I really looked into it, I'm like, there's 2 weeks without him. Finno Sullivan started showing signs, as much as it pains me to say. So yeah, I'm in agreeance there.
Yeah, like personally, I'm probably trading both Foss and Sardis out. But if I'm only trading one, it's got to be the one that's not playing. And as we said before, probably may not get back into the team.
Yeah. Now, I got Facebook time, Paddo, so this is where it all comes. Chris Walker-Jones says, do you think the Owen brothers, Owen 2, Bombers and Blues fans are using each other's tears as lubes while jerking off? Yes.
Sorry. What was that? I'm switching to the co-captain's Facebook page to read these questions, and I heard something about lube. I was like, sorry?
Do you think the Owen brothers, so O and 2, okay, Bombers and Blues fans, right, yeah, are using each other's tears as lube while jerking off? The answer is yes.
I fucking hope so.
Oh, God. Here we go. So next one, James says, Sardis with a fractured hand, apparently a few weeks, keep or trade? We're saying trade.
Trade.
Trade, fuck him off. He also says, best tagger, and who will they target?
Jordan is the form tagger of the competition.
Yep. Actually, Bedford's pretty decent.
Yeah, but Bedford can get overpowered by the bigger midfielders.
I've noticed with Bedford, just while we're talking about taggers, notice with Bedford, if the midfielder pushes forward, he automatically switches to the next midfielder in line. So like when they played Melbourne, when Petrarca went forward, he never followed him forward. He just switched to Clary.
Yeah.
Whereas Jordan will pretty much follow him fucking anywhere, won't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he will. So everyone's safe this week because Jordan doesn't play. Hawthorn are actually also a sneaky one there because they deploy Nash as a bit of a tagger.
The big body tagger because he's the
only one. Yeah, he's really good at that negating role. So Tom Green, watch out this week. I'm hoping he goes to Green and not Callahan.
Yeah, same. James then says, Jason Horn Francis out? Question mark. Okay. So, seen a lot of Let's Rage trade Jason Horne-Francis, and I'm saying hold a week, because who's he playing this week, Paddo?
Who is he playing this week?
The fucking Bombers. So, he's playing the Bombers this week, and if he can't crack 100 against the Bombers, then fuck him right off.
Well, the Bombers have been tagging.
Yeah, but they won't tag him. If anyone, they'd tag probably Rosie now. But in saying that, he did get tagged in his first game, Jason Horne-Francis, and he got frustrated. So, but yeah, if he sucks and Bailey Smith pops off and you're not a Bailey Smith owner, fucking do it. I'll change man this year, Paddo. Oh, fuck. Next one. Ooh, this is a good one. Jason Patterson says, Dale or Frazier, banking the 200K and wait for him to make money and move on. So does the money make the two trades worth it or just set and forget with Dale? I am sticking by, Paddo. If you didn't start Frazier, there's no point bringing him in. And honestly, he's the most frustrating fucking own slash watch because at three-quarter time, he's on 30. Full-time, when Bevo finally puts him in the midfield, he cracks 100 again. So, and I don't think he's going to be doing that every week. It's going to be 1 week where he doesn't deploy Frazier in that frigging midfield role. But then again, he might end up fucking playing him for a half instead of a quarter and he might crack 120. So,
here's the thing with this. Is Dale for sure top six defender?
I'm actually considering he's a top eight, and the reason being he's got no one
from this point. So that's without his 268 points right now.
Yeah, he's got no one really taking his half. Like, who's the other half back? It's generally Frazier, and he's been not that great at it, which I thought he'd be dominating it.
It's a tough one to read. Bevo is also still Bevo.
Of the two, I would Bailey Dale it.
So Taylor Duray played halfback on the weekend. Not well, mind you.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I think Bailey Dale's the man.
I'm just not sure his top eight, because you've got Zorko, you've got Sinclair, you've got Whitfield, you've got Jordan Clark, you've got Roberts, who I think will be up there, you've got Max Holmes, you've got Dan Houston, you've got Wanganui Malera.
See, I reckon he's going to do better than a lot of them.
Then you've got Sheasel and Martin, who have underperformed so far. And, like, there's, what, eight names that I think
would probably do better than Dale. The thing you got to realize is, let's say you get a guy that's getting 100 each week, yeah? I'd rather the guy that gets 141 week and 80 the next, because you'll constantly be 20 points up every two rounds.
Give me 110 every week over that.
Oh, yeah, because that ends up being 220 points each week. But what I'm saying is you've got a guy that's just scraping 100 that he's comparing it to, which is Frazier, who's every like any minute now, if Bevo's him and doesn't put him in the midfield for at all, he's not going to crack 100. He's only been playing in the midfielder on an average of one quarter in four and cracking 100. Imagine if he fucking plays two quarters. If he plays two to three quarters in there or a whole game, fuck, man, he could be on 180. But that's not how Bevo rolls. He'd rather fucking not put him in there than put him in there. So, look.
Again, I just go back to Bailey Dale being inconsistent historically. And also, Bevo is still coaching the Dogs. And I don't think Bailey Dale is a good trade-in. In saying that, I don't love the Frazier trade-in either. But I can see Frazier being a solid stepping stone to someone that is more reliable than Dale. Or you use Frazier and the money that he makes, and then you go down to Kitty Coleman once he's played two games and you're happy with his role.
When is he even coming back?
I think he's only a couple of weeks away.
And aren't you worried as a Zorko owner?
Oh, yeah, yeah, but I'll recess. I'll have a look. I'll take his 130s every week until then.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, actually, Coleman last week was listed as a TBC, so it could be longer away than I thought.
TBC for ages.
Yeah. So, anyway, Zorko's the one.
I'm saying Bailey Dale over Frazier.
I'm saying Frazier as a stepping stone, not a keeper.
So, take whatever. Like, his last name's Patterson, so he'll probably go with you, Pato. And then we go, his second part, he said, if you could only have two of Henderson, Lindsay, or O'Sullivan, who are you picking? Ooh. Well, we'll both agree on Lindsay being the first one.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going Henderson, Lindsay.
I'd go O'Sullivan. Reason being is because we've got a few more midfield rookies that are about to come in, like Clay Hall and whatnot. And I honestly am adamant that Clay Hall will be a solid rookie in the midfield. And if you can get O'Sullivan and then you get like Bice the next week, you've just reset your rookies essentially in defense to good, decent ones. And even if O'Sullivan makes his quick cash and then Colo comes back in, he's made you some money there. And yeah, that's my thought process in it. More on-field points.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter says, what are you doing with Sardis now that he's injured? I'm using him for cash, not holding for 2 weeks, and then Parrish is back after the bye. This is why we have Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach on this podcast, Pato. He thinks the same.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, straight away, it's the Parrish call. Yep, fucking bang, bang. James again, Flynn versus Williams, neither.
Andrew McWalter, is that you?
Asking us for selection advice. Neither. Don't have any of them in Supercoach. Okay, Liam Nashoda.
Just play Nat Fife in the ruck.
Different fucking team altogether.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, how cooked am I? Jesus. Going well.
Oh, Jesus. Crosstown rivals. Well, you might sub in for them this week. Just quick, cheeky mid-season transfer. Liam Nashoda says, thinking of binning Perryman for Frazier and O'Sullivan for Henderson from the D's. Thoughts? Gives me 145K in the bank. So, O'Sullivan being Finn O'Sullivan.
Yeah,
I'm pretty adamant with my Frazier call, Pato, in that if you didn't start him, there's no point in bringing him in.
Yeah, assuming he's already got Lindsay, O'Driscoll, Ashcroft, Henderson. Oh, sorry, Henderson is looking to get in. Yeah, so assuming you've already got those four who I think are the must-have mid-rookies, I don't mind Henderson as a trade-in for O'Sullivan.
Yep. And then we've got Lloydie said, doing shit I usually wouldn't do. I'm thinking Short, Nick Martin, and Peyton out, and in is Jordan Clark, Salem, and maybe O'Sullivan. Ooh. Ooh. He said ultimate POD Salem.
Aye, aye, aye.
Oh. He's already made up his mind after listening to the first bit of this podcast when I brought up Salem.
I would hope so. I would hope he's not looking at trading Nick Martin out as well. I don't think he's a trade out. And I say that as a Martin owner as well. Hold him. He did this last year and then burnt people that traded him out, and I was one of those people. Jaden Short, I think, again, is a fine trade out if he wasn't playing St Kilda this week. So I would wait one more week on Short.
I'm going to make a bold statement here, Pato.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday night, Essendon is going to beat Port Adelaide.
Yeah, nah.
and I'm putting this on the podcast because I'm adamant that they're going to do it. They're going to pull everything together for 1 week. Portal look pass, and they'll just roll it in. Draper will do snaps around his body from fucking 10 meters out. Just hush the crowd. Hush his own fans.
Hush his own crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, I can see Nick Martin running riot in this game.
Yeah, so would you trade out Jaden Short before playing St Kilda?
I think trading out Nick Martin and Jaden Short before playing Thursday night Marvel and then also at St Kilda, fuck. Like, give them the one more week. This is the Dano one more week rule. Let them play three games. You're going to have one price change, but you get one more week's worth of data.
Worth noting as well, as I've got Patton as well, he had 32 odd touches in the VFL, so he could come back into the team. But I know that's not what Lordy wants to hear because it sounds like he wants to use three of his trades this week.
I'd hold off trading Patton and see if he gets named and whatnot, but honestly, Bice would be the one next week.
Yeah, and Jaden Short has a break-even 94, so even if he doesn't go well, I think you're still fine. Last year, he had 105 against the Saints, and that's considered a low game for him. So I think he's a one more week, and the break-even isn't out of control with him. Again, Nick Martin, break-even of 97. He, I feel, gets that pretty easy this week.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. All right. Well, we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing, Paddo. Every week, we give you the listeners VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. So, to start with, we got Thursday night's game, Essendon versus Port Adelaide, riveting TV, 16th versus 11th. And I'm tipping Essendon in this one. Fuck yes. Who have we got and why is it Zach Merritt?
Nah. Connor Rosie averaged 112 against the Bombers in seven games, including his last two being 152 and 141 last 2 years. So Rosie, for me, is a pretty clear VC option if you own him.
So you don't like Zach Merritt?
I didn't say that. I just feel like Zach Merritt gets Willem Drew for attention.
I don't think it'll matter. So let me talk about Zach Merritt's scores. So last year, 136. The year before, 168. And then his low game was 106.
Yeah, I mean, it might just depend on which way you think this game will go.
The only problem is it's generally against them at Adelaide Oval. So they're at Marvel. But again, I think he just likes playing them. If I own Zach Merritt, VC for me. Anyone else, Paddo?
No.
Friday night, we got Carlton versus the Western Bulldogs. Again, riveting TV. Two teams again outside the top eight playing primetime footy, Paddo. How good is the AFL? who you got in this?
TDK? Hard to go past De Koning. He might bounce back against English or the shell of English. But with another bye round, I think you can afford to go later into the round if you're not sure. And I think with De Koning getting 104 last weekend, maybe you're unsure.
Yeah, fair. Tom Liberatore, we put him down as a captaincy option last week, Paddo, and he fucking went bananas. And honestly, I could see him doing it again.
Is he going to do it matched up against Crypto?
So I don't think they'll play on each other.
Well, then he could be up against like an Ollie Lord or something, who is another big body. Probably due for an injury as well.
I'm going VC Tom Liberatore in this one. And with the way that Carlton's been kicking at goal, maybe a lot of kick-ins for Bailey Dale. Hey.
Can I say Sam Darcy?
Played, if Bevo played Joel Frazier in the midfield for more than a quarter, he'd be a fucking VC option.
Yeah, Bailey Dale as well.
I already said Bailey Dale.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on. Saturday, Melbourne versus the Suns, 1:20 p.m. MCG. Finally, a team in the top eight, and it's the Suns.
After one game.
They've not had more than one game.
They've played one game, dude.
Holy fuck, they have two. What the
they've
fuck?
They've had two buys. And they will have one less game than everyone else until literally September
24. Holy shit. Go the Suns.
It's fucking whack. Anyway.
That is hilarious. So
the Ginger Ninja loves a matchup against the Suns, and the Suns coach also does not like tagging. So I feel like that makes up for a pretty nice VC there if you are so inclined.
I like Noah Anderson. I can see him popping off.
Yeah, but not many people have him. That's the problem.
How many people do have him, Paddo? Let's have a look.
Also not at People First Stadium.
Neither was his last game.
But that was against West Coast.
6.5% own Noah Anderson.
Yeah. If you've got him, he's not a bad VC.
Fun fact, 0.4% of teams own Cody Anderson, who hasn't played a game. Random tidbit for you there. Now, I actually really like Noah Anderson in this one, and I've said it. He's going to be a top eight mid this year in Supercoach, and I'm sticking by it, and yeah, he's just going to slay. All right, next one. St Kilda versus Richmond.
Here we go, Dano.
Jack McRae, Feast City.
Yeah, I think the two obvious ones in this game are McRae and Jaden Short.
Yep. No one else. Jack Sinclair.
Yeah, Sinclair's not a bad option either.
Marvel Stadium Sinclair is the best Sinclair. Didn't I say
it was... But how much of the ball's actually going to be down there, though?
Doesn't fucking matter. It's Marvel Stadium Sinclair. He's got so many games at Marvel Stadium this year. Holy fuck.
Yep.
Ridiculous. And so many in a row at Marvel, too, especially the second half of the year. Anyone else?
No.
What happened with Nank?
Checked out.
Fair enough. Next one, Hawthorn versus the Giants. First versus third. Didn't realize the Hawks were first. There you go. Oh, they've played three. That's why. Yep. Okay. This is a toughie. This is a toughie.
I'm almost inclined to say don't touch this game with a VC or a C and just enjoy it. If I was gun against my head having to choose someone, it'd probably be Whitfield. But even then, I don't say that with a lot of confidence because Finn is around.
McGuinness.
Yeah, Finn McGuinness is around and probably goes to him. So, yeah, no one.
Okay. If I was a gambling man, if you had either one of Will Day or Finn Callahan, I would be chucking a VC on him. If you didn't do a Jack McRae or something, if you're one of the weird people that doesn't have Jack McRae or a Tom DeConing or someone like that, and you want to be bold and adventurous, do it. Because there should be some good C options in the next three games, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, the next one. Oh, actually, no, I'm wrong. Because at the exact same time, Paddo, so the Hawks and Giants are 7:35.
This other game is the one that will be the VC option, don't
it? Yeah, sorry. I didn't realize they're on at the same time. So the other game is at 7:35 p.m. too, and that's Brisbane versus Geelong. Fuck. Okay, I did not realize.
And Dana, you got to choose between these two games if you're watching footy on Saturday night.
Oh, you know which one I'm picking.
Well, yeah. But anyway.
But yeah, if you choose to watch the Brisbane one.
Zorko is a nice option against the Cats.
I feel like Lockie Neal's back again. Just one-off game.
Yeah, could get tagged though.
Yeah. Josh Dunkley just plodding along. If you started him, good on you.
Yeah.
No one really from Cats.
Holmes?
Nah, not for me.
Fair. Again, yeah, sit back and enjoy this game. There's a lot of other really good options.
Yeah. Sunday, Adelaide versus North Melbourne. Mr. Tristan Cherry, please come to the office right now. Tristan Cherry.
Yeah, interestingly, only had 103 against the Crows last year, which... Was that his lowest score for the year?
Nah, he had some sub-100s.
He had three sub-100 scores.
Yep.
Four. But, yeah, probably does well in this matchup. I don't mind Caleb Daniel. I'm hoping David Juniak has a nice big spike score, but it probably doesn't happen because Adelaide have some guys that can really go with him. The other one is Jordan Dawson might have a nice little game against the Kangas, 127 against them last year.
Yep, fair. And the last one that we have is West Coast versus Freo. Yeah, I actually want to avoid it altogether, this game.
I mean, Jordan Clark is not a horrible option. If you have him, Luke Jackson's a really good option.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't like a Brayshaw?
To be honest, the way it's going, no. I don't trust him with the captaincy yet. VC maybe, but not a C.
Yeah, fair.
Like a lot of these guys in this game would be a VC, not a C. Like Caleb's wrong, VC, not a C.
I'll tell you who loves a game in Perth against West Coast.
Who?
Shea Bolton.
Oh, Jesus. That was only because he was playing in front of his hometown people all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, he's now permanently there, so you don't give a fuck. Yeah. All good. All right, Pato, what's your Twitter handle and all that shit?
It's at PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. And you can also find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. Now, I want to just, before we sign off, Pato, I want to just highlight an amazing feat. And this is at local football level. It's not every day that you know someone going for a world record, let alone smashing it with 7 days to spare. So I just want to give a big shout out to Matt LaFontaine. He's going for the world record for the most pull-ups in a month. And what he's doing is he's going out there and he is doing the pull-ups. And this isn't like the fucking chin-up ones with your fucking biceps and shit. He's doing the full back shit. So pull-ups for a month. I think he needed to beat 25,000. And he's already up to 31,126 and still has 7 days to go. So he's trying to absolutely obliterate this record. And he plays out at Frankston YCW. So good on you, Matt LaFontaine, for absolutely fucking killing that world record. Like, I can barely do one, Pato, let alone fucking 31,126. That is hectic.
Yeah, top job.
Yep, so he's just obliterating the world record, so good on you. I'm going to have lots of Dusty Martin fend-offs out there when you're playing for Frankston YCW. So anyway, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.